Now to Isaiah chapter 45, page 754 in your Scofield Bible. We'll begin with verse 11 and read through verse 15. The 15th verse is the text verse for this morning's message. We'll read these verses responsively. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness. I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city. He shall let go my captives, not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt, and merchandise of Ethiopia, and of the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee, in chains they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee, and there is none else, there is no God. And let's read the 15th verse together also. Verily thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. Let's pray. Father, you have a perfect plan for this service. We as imperfect people must somehow accomplish thy will and purpose. Thank you for giving us a preacher who wants with all of his heart to bring to his people what they need. We're needy people. Give our hearts and our minds over unto the service and to the preaching. We believe you've got something very special in mind for this service and for the entire day of services and preaching. Bless, we pray, we need thee, in Jesus' name, amen. I've pastored for over 50 years. I have pastored more people than any man in the history of America. That means I've seen more of my members go to heaven. I'm 71 years of age, and my generation, one by one, passing off the scene. We just said goodbye to one of our fine ladies this week. Remember this church over 40, I think about 45 years. I'm going to build my sermon this morning around such a member of the Miller Road Baptist Church. I go in Garland, Texas, where I pastored before I came here. I go back to Texas, and it's hard to find any of my members that are still living. Or most of them have passed off the scene. This particular man, around whom I build my message this morning, passed away while I was at Miller Road. He was an older man. I'm guessing at the time he was about the age that I am now. And I want you to listen carefully as I try to encourage you with a little illustration concerning this particular man. Our Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that you'd help me to be a blessing to those who call me preacher. And to those who are visiting with us, I pray today we'll unite our hearts around the book and this one truth in the book and rejoice as we leave that it is a truth. In Jesus' name, amen. He was a tall, distinguished, and dignified man with an old world demeanor. Wish we had more of those today. A certain kind of a propriety graced his walk. A certain kind of a dignity preceded and followed him wherever he went. A cigarette had never touched his lips, though he was probably in his 70s. This was the old school man, the kind that sat up straight the kind that was the head of his family, the kind that sat like a king on a throne at the head of the table at home. A liquor glass had never been held in his hands. He was puritanic in his life. A theater seat had never held his frame. He was a stranger to the dance floor. He did not know one playing card from another. To him, Sunday was the Christian Sabbath. He wouldn't as much as eat in a restaurant on Sunday. He wouldn't as much as even consider watching or listening to a ball game on Sunday. Sunday was the day when you went to church, you went home with your family, you ate, you rested, read your Bible and prayed, and went back to church that night. The old school, the kind that built America. The Lord's Supper was his favorite service. He beamed as I announced it was Lord's Supper time. And with dignity and propriety and a look of sincerity, he held the cup in his hand and placed the unleavened bread upon his lips. Though he did on occasion give a raspy amen, he was not the kind that would stand and wave his Bible. He was the head of his house. He was eloquent in his listening to my sermons. He never even read a magazine. He's the kind of fellow, if you went to his house, he was home, you'd come as near finding and reading the Bible as you would in doing anything else. His diet was very simple. His lifestyle was comfortably basic. He looked like a banker. Thought like a scholar. He was the pinnacle of wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. No one ever saw him fail. No one ever saw him ill. He was a blend of formality and warmth, grace and truth, zeal and knowledge. In his senior years, after a long and healthy life, signally free of any kind of sickness or sorrow, my man this morning was stricken with an illness that proved to be fatal. And that leads me to what I'm going to say about him this morning. He called for me at the hospital, Baylor Hospital in Dallas, Texas. I rushed to his bedside in his last hours of his life. He did not die immediately, but this was to be his deathbed. And this man, who was very dignified, suddenly lost his dignity. This man who was proper seemed to suddenly lose his propriety. He began to shake and tremble. When I went to I sat beside him in the hospital. I smiled, and he didn't. And then he spoke. He said, "Preacher, I've lost God. I have lost God." Of all the people in my church that I thought would never make that statement, this dignified and proper and stately, tall, young, older man said, "Preacher, I have lost God. I am saved. I know I'm saved. But where is God now? I've lost God." The Holy Spirit borrowed my lips, I think, as I shocked myself in what I said by answer. I said to him, "You're in good company." He leaned as far up as his sick body would allow him. And he said, "What?" I said, "You're in good company. You say you've lost God. You ask the question, where is God?" I said, "Let me tell you the company you're in. Job said, wherefore hidest thou thy face?" As he had lost his children, lost his wealth, lost his wife's loyalty and faithfulness, lost his health, lost his riches, lost everything. Job sitting in the ash heap of the city dump. The same Job that said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." The same Job that said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Job said, in his pain. Wherefore hidest thou thy face? Have you ever been there? Have you been there? Are you there this morning? Have you asked the question, where's God? Have you made the statement, I've lost God? I guarantee you that everybody in this room that's an adult knows what has in the past been able to make that statement or ask that question. And there are literally hundreds of you today would ask that question, where's God? I know I'm saved, he said. I know I'm going to heaven when I die, but I've lost God. Where is God? I said, as the Holy Spirit continued to use my lips, I said, Isaiah, in his loneliness, and by the way, I didn't know I knew all of these scriptures. And you've been there. All of a sudden, you start quoting scriptures you didn't know you knew. But if somebody ever says, we're going to quote scriptures around the circle, you can't think of a thing but Jesus wept. And the next fellow said, I don't have one. You got nine. But all of a sudden, I've done this preaching. You guys don't talk about it. I've done this preaching. All of a sudden, I remember things I didn't think I'd remember, and sometimes things that never even happened. But all of a sudden, I said, not only did Job say, wherefore hidest thou thy face? But Isaiah, in his loneliness, preaching to a people who were stiff-necked, their words were like briars hitting him from the outside. And Isaiah, in his loneliness, said, thou art a God that hidest thyself. He was saying the same thing that Job said, and the same thing that this man had said, and the same thing that you and I have said. Where's God? I continued talking. I said, David said, when he was running from Saul, Saul had threatened to kill him and tried to kill him. On occasion, had taken a javelin and hurled it at David. And but for the friendship of Jonathan, David would not even been alive. And also but for the grace of God. And David running from Saul, running for his life and running so he wouldn't have to lift up his hand against God's anointed. David said, thou hidest thy face. Have you been there? Maybe it was right here. Maybe it was at the bedside. Maybe it was after reading or hearing the doctor's report. David said, thou hidest thy face. I continued talking to my man. Again, David said, when Absalom had rebelled against me, his own son had rebelled against him. And David's forces were fighting against his own son's forces for the right for David to sit on the throne, or in case the rebellion was successful, for Absalom to sit on the throne. And David asked this question, why standest thou afar off? Why hidest thyself in time of trouble? What David was saying is, I need you now more than ever needed you before. Why hidest thyself in time of trouble? You ever been there? You ever been to the place to where you said, where's God? Job said, where's God? Isaiah said, where's God? I've lost God, said the man in the hospital, in a hospital room. I've lost God, said Job. I've lost God, said Isaiah. I've lost God, said David, while fleeing from Saul. I've lost God, said David, while his son was rebelling against him. Where's God? I continued talking. Again, when David had come back from his sin and had confessed his sin to God, David said, I said to this man on his death, what was to be his deathbed, I said, David said in that case, he said, he hideth his face. Heman, the Bible wrote some Psalms. Heman said, why, how dost hidest thou thy face from me? And again, Heman said, wherefore hidest thou thy face? Have you been there? As you followed a casket to the hearse? As you felt the fevered brow of a child? As you heard the doctor say, it's malignant? Have you been there? Have you said, all of us have it sometime, you said, where is God? Where is God? Why, how dost thou thy face? I said, even the Bible says in John 12:36, though I did not give the reference, Jesus hid himself from them. Jeremiah, in discouragement,
because nobody listened to his message. It looked like defeat was imminent. It looked like the captivity was imminent. And Jeremiah cried out that he had lost God. And David again cried in the 22nd Psalm, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And even the Son of God himself on the cross cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I kept on talking to my man. You've been there? I've been there. I preached there. Where's God? Where's God? Why hidest thou thyself? And some are here this morning. Now, why would God seem to hide himself from us? In the first place, why would God leave us? He doesn't leave us. Didn't he say, I will never leave thee, never forsake thee? Didn't he say, lo, I'm with thee always, even unto the end of the world? So the truth is, God does not leave us. He just appears to leave us and hides from us. He simply hides himself. Now, why would God hide himself? Listen carefully. Number one, to see if we'll serve him anyway. God wants to know sometimes if we'd serve him if we did not think he was there. God wants to test us. He comes to a pastor and says, I want you to preach. And the day comes and the pastor looks up and says, where's God? Where's God? He hideth himself. Where's God? And every preacher who's ever lived and taken his stand and fought the battles and felt the wounds of the ministry and heard the barbs of criticism, every preacher who's ever lived has come to a place where he said, where's God? Where's God? God wants a preacher to keep on preaching even if he doesn't know that God is there. At least 7 times in my life, I've asked the question, where is God? I'm sure more than that, but I counted 7 in my study this week. But I've asked the question, where is God? In probably the darkest hour of my life, I was preaching, I think it was Rutgers University, the Rutgers or Princeton, I've forgotten which one. Of course, I preached at Harvard and Yale and the University of Chicago and all of them. Ted Kennedy and I have shared the platform so many times. But I forget who was preaching with me then, whether it was Martin Luther King Jr. or Jesse Jackson, I don't know. Well, I was preaching at a convention, I think it was Rutgers University, big 8,000-seat coliseum, just about packed. I got my Bible, walked to the door, and the phone rang. I rushed back to answer the phone, picked up the phone, and I guess the worst news I'd ever heard. And what may have been the darkest hour of my life, my driver was waiting at the hotel lobby. I fell on my face in the hotel at 5 minutes before I left to go preach at Rutgers University. And I asked that question, where are you? You've been there. Where are you? From the hospital room, what it looks like any moment. Where are you? Where are you? From the funeral home, when couples come by and view the body of the one that you loved and you wonder why that husband is still living and all those husbands are strong and well and you've got to face life by yourself. Where are you? Where are you? Where is God? I asked myself that night, 5 minutes before I was to leave, where is God? On my face, I mean like a throw rug, on my face, I cried out, where is God? And I said to myself, it doesn't matter where he is. I'm preaching tonight. I spoke that night to 8,000 people at Rutgers University. I'm almost sure it was Rutgers. Had a wonderful service. I'll never forget this as long as I live. And the fellow I'm going to talk about right now is in this room right now probably. Remember this church. I got through preaching. A great service. I rushed downstairs under the bleachers to get along with God and thank him for blessing me. Andy Briner was down there. Andy Briner crossed me and met me in the hallway and he simply said, Brother Hiles, that's the greatest sermon I ever heard you preach. That's the greatest sermon I ever heard you preach. Hey, sometimes God hides himself. He wants to know if you'll come to church anyway. Sometimes God hides himself. He wants to know if you'll go soul winning anyway.
Sometimes God hides himself. He wants to know if you'll teach that Sunday school class anyway. Sometimes God hides himself. He wants to know if you'll keep that bus route anyway. Some guy at a time God hides himself and the Bible does not seem like it speaks to you, and God hides himself where he wants to know if you read the Bible anyway. Sometimes God hides himself while you pray and you feel like the heavens are brass. God wants to know when you pray anyway. God's looking for a bunch of Christians who'll obey him no matter what happens, and God sometimes wants to find out if you mean business.
A close second, and I've mentioned this one often, but I'll not belabor it. Close second to that was one night I was going to preach out at the college. I was going to preach from the pier out there with several thousand young people up in the bleachers that God had made in that slanting hill out there. Just as I started to leave the office, I was stricken by some bad news. Two notes were under my door. I shouldn't have read them. I don't read notes. I hardly... Please, fellas, sit down, would you please? There are people behind you that like to hear. If you don't want to hear, there are folks behind you that like to hear. I fell on my face, and I said, asked the same question, where's God? Where's God? Where are you? I've been preaching all these years, and I preached this book, and you know it. I've tried to get people saved, and you know it. I've taken my stand, and you know it. I've been considered a nut because I took a stand for it. You know it. Where's God? I jumped up, and I said, I'm going to preach anyhow. Walked out there and stood on the little pier out there. My heart was broken in two. And that night, over 800 young people surrendered their lives to full-time Christian service. Several times in the last year, we've ordained preachers over there in the chapel on a Saturday night. And a fellow get up and say, I was called to preach on a certain Saturday, on a certain youth conference, when Brother Hiles preached out on the pier and thousands of young people there. I was called to preach, and there are pastors all over the country who were called to preach that night years ago when I said, where's God? It doesn't matter whether you feel him or not. That's God. He's there. I said, God wants to see if we'll serve him anyway. Where's God? Why hidest thou thyself? Secondly, God wants to make us realize our need of his nearness. God wants to let us know once in a while we can't make it by ourselves. God wants to remind us sometimes that it's God and not us. God wants to remind us sometimes that it isn't charisma that gets the job done. It isn't personality that gets the job done. It isn't talent that gets the job done. But for the grace of God, all of us would go to hell, and none of us would be successful. And God comes sometimes and says, I'm going to hide myself. Why? Because I want you to know who does the work. It's an old illustration. I've used it a few times through the years. My mother and I used to catch a streetcar, the Trinity Heights streetcar, and go downtown Dallas. We'd always get off on Ackard and Irvy Street. I'm sorry, not Ackard and Irvy, Elm and Irvy Street. And right there on the corner was a five and dime store. I miss those. I really do. I miss the five and dime stores. I think I'm on a TP Walmart sometime. If anybody ever bombs it, they'll get half our church members out here for sure. I got to tell you this. I've been to Walmart one time in my life. One time. Because I haven't got time to get out there. I'd have to sign 40 Bibles before I got inside the door. I've been to Walmart one time in my life. I think I was looking for something for you, wasn't it? A video? What was it of? I forgot what movie it was. But I was looking, remind me what my sermon's about when I get through with this, would you? I was looking for some video, and it's especially wanted, and Miss House wanted it, And I started looking around the video place, and I looked and I couldn't find it. And I was standing right there in front of the dirty movies. One of my members came up. Brother Hiles, before I left those dirty movies, 11 of our people were there. They wanted to see it too. But anyway, my mother and I used to go into Grand and Silver's. That was a five and dime store called Grand and Silver's. Big place. And they had over one corner over there, a little place I like especially, where they sold malted milks. For a nickel, you can get the best malted milk ever made since the New Jerusalem. And Mom would be shopping around, and I'd tiptoe over there. And of course, you heard me say this. We didn't have any money. We didn't have a nickel to buy malted milk with. So I'd look for the glasses that had some left in the bottom. That's where I got AIDS. I looked for glasses that had some in the bottom. And I'd drink two or three malted milks just with a little left in the bottom. And all of a sudden, I'd look around. Mama was gone. And my little childish voice, Mama! 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 And of course, everyone there said, what, you know? Mama! 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 I want my mama! I want my mama! And then she'd come out behind that big pillar there where she'd been hiding. Boy, I grabbed her skirt. I didn't give a flip about a malted milk at all, because I wanted my mama. And I'd stay close to my mama. My mama hid herself from me because she wanted me to stay close to her and to realize that I needed her. And sometimes God hides behind the pillar and you say, where's God? Where's God? Where's God? God saw you trying to teach by yourself. God saw you trying to preach by yourself. God saw you trying to sing by yourself. God saw you trying to raise your family by yourself. And God hideth himself. And the psalmist said, why hidest thou thyself? And Isaiah said, why hidest thou thyself? And David said, where's God? And Jeremiah said, where's God? And Job said, where's God? Where's God? Where's God? God wants to make us realize our need of him. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. And so do you. And sometimes God hides himself to let us know that we need him. I'll parenthesize again for a moment. Three times in my ministry, I've lost it in the pulpit. My memory all of a sudden left me. First time was about 37, 38 years ago in Panama City, Florida. And it's been four times. I went ahead and finished my sermon then. But three times I've had to stop preaching. One time was at Soul of the Lord Convention, and one time was in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and one time was here behind this pulpit several years ago. I never preach a sermon anywhere. But what I don't say, oh God, don't let me ruin the service. I sat here this morning, as I will tonight, as I will Wednesday night, and as I will next Sunday, and every other Sunday. I'll sit tomorrow night in Southern California before I preach. I'll say, oh God, don't let me ruin this service. Oh God, help me. I need you. I need you. I don't want God to turn his back on me. I don't want God to hide from me. And the best way in the world to see to it that God doesn't hide from you, and you say, where's God? Is you stay right close to him and depend upon him. Number three. God wants to see if you'll trust him anyway. You see, here's what God wants to know. God wants to know if you'll believe he's there because you feel it or because he said it. God wants to know if you have to tingle to feel his presence or to believe his presence is there. Now, so God hides himself to see if we will trust him anyway. Now you listen to me. From the moment that you got saved till this moment, God has never left you.
And he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. As I've said before, there are five negatives in that statement. No, I will not, never, not, never, not, never, not, never, not, never leave thee or forsake thee. The time that you said yes to Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit came inside your body to live, God has been with you. He's never left you. And I've got news, he never will leave you either.
But you say, Brother Hiles, as this man said while he was on his deathbed, I've lost God. I've lost God.
Where is God? I've lost God.
No, sir. I said, you haven't lost God. He's there.
Well, I don't feel his presence.
I said, that doesn't make any difference. He's still there. He said it, be there. Several years ago, many years ago, a little boy in our church had done something courageous. I know what it was. It was a fire down here on Cane Street. This little boy saved the life. I'm sure he's an adult by now. He'd saved the life of his family. So I told him I want to take him out on a date. I went and got the little boy and took him over to a pizza place. And we had lunch together, and I spent some time with him. But before I left, I got an emergency phone call. And I was a little bit late. And one of the parents, or one of the family, got a little disturbed and said, I bet you Brother House forgot. And the little boy said, Brother House will be here. He said he would. Brother Hiles will be here. He said he would.
Young preacher, when you face the opposition for the first time in your life and somebody rises up against you because you've taken your stand for God, mark it down. He'll be there. He said he would.
When you face chilling hands of death, you look up and you realize that your life on earth is over and you've got a little while. I stood beside this house and I stood beside Mrs. McCarroll Friday afternoon at the St. James Hospital. She was still in the emergency room. She began to cry. When that time comes in your life, you'll be there.
Well, the house, how will I know he's there? Well, I feel it.
You may feel his presence or you may not feel his presence, but he'll be there because he said he would. He's here today. He's with you today. I didn't say you feel it. I said he's with you. And I'd rather not feel it and have him say it than have him not say it and feel it. The charismatic movement is built around a bunch of people working up some kind of a feeling of his presence, when the independent Baptist movement is made up of a bunch of people who are not trying to work up anything. We believe his presence is here because he said he'd be here. Stately old man, mighty old to me then, not so old now. I was a young man in my late 20s. As the Holy Spirit had barred my lips and reminded him of David and Jeremiah and Isaiah and Heman and others who said, where is God? Why hidest thou thyself? Several days later, they called me back to the hospital. In those days, I didn't have a big church, and I could visit everybody that was sick. In fact, I visited everybody sick every day back in those days. Church was smaller. I rushed to the hospital. He was dying. I've forgotten his name. I recall his daughter's name was Prescott, her daughter and son-in-law. I've forgotten his name. I can see him. The person in this church that looks the most like him is Mr. Neimeyer. Tall and stately and dignified. I went to the hospital and I saw him die. Not long before he died, he looked up at me and smiled and said, I still can't feel it, but he's here. I know he's here. If you've been there and you've said, where is God? Why hidest thou thyself? Or if you're there today, let me remind you, he's there.
Well, you say, I don't feel it.
Don't have to feel it. He said he'd be there. And the old man passed away, saying, I can't feel it, but he's here. And I know it. I don't know what your burden is. I don't know what your heartache is. I don't know what your sorrow is. But he's there. He's there. Lo, I am with you always. Hey, always means ain't no time when he ain't there. He's always there. Never leaves. He doesn't leave to go get a drink of water. He doesn't leave to go take a walk. He's always there. And he's with you today. So I'm trying to tell you, keep on praying. If you can't feel like it's getting past the ceiling, keep on reading your Bible if you don't tingle or burn while the Bible speaks to you.
Keep on going soul winning if it seems like everybody slams their door in your face. Keep on serving God when you say goodbye to the dearest on earth and walk away from the city of the dead to live alone. Stay, keep on serving God. I'll tell you, you may not know it, you may not feel it, but hallelujah, he's there.
And he always will be. Would you bow your heads, please?